Welcome to day 214 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we will be reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapters 20 and 21 from the New American Standard Bible. And we will hear a very fascinating story from the life of King Hezekiah, one of the good kings in Israel's history, and how he received a very dramatic answer to prayer. So starting at 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. In those days Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Then Isaiah said, "Take a cake of figs." And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? So Hezekiah answered, "It is easy for the shadow to decline 10 steps. No, but let the shadow turn backward 10 steps. Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow on the stairway back 10 steps by which it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. At that time, Berodach Baladan, a son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Hezekiah listened to them and showed them all his treasure house, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious oil and the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to the king Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and from where have they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come from a far country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house, and there is nothing among my treasuries that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. Some of your sons who shall issue from you, whom you will beget, will be taken away, and they will become officials in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he thought, "Is it not so, if there will be peace and truth in my days?" Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made the pool and the conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son became king in his place. Chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Ahab king of Israel had done, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." For he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He made his son pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and used divination, and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Then he set the carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, if only they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them." But they did not listen, and Manasseh seduced them to do evil more than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. Now the Lord spoke through his servants the prophets, saying, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, having done wickedly more than all the Amorites did who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols, therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity on Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance, and they will become as plunder and spoil to all their enemies. Because they have done evil in my sight and have been provoking me to anger since the day their fathers came from Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood until he filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides his sin with which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin which he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son became king in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotbah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done, for he walked in all the way that his father had walked, and served the idols that his father had served, and worshipped them. So he forsook the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. The servants of Amon conspired against him and killed the king in his own house. Then the people of the land killed all those who had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Amon which he did, Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? He was buried in his grave in the Garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son became king in his place. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
Today's Bible passages give us some very interesting details about King Hezekiah's life and also give us several lessons that are vital or applicable for sure to our lives today. The first one is that Hezekiah's prayer to the Lord was answered so very dramatically. Hezekiah at this time of the occurrence in chapter 20 of 2 Kings was still a young man, approximately 30 years of age. And so he developed some sort of boil that was going to cause his death if it was not miraculously healed. And so when Isaiah came as the prophet to him and told him, "Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live," King Hezekiah was really smitten with grief because, first of all, he's a young man. Second of all, the country is being threatened with destruction from the king of Assyria, and very much Jerusalem itself, the city in which King Hezekiah's palace and the temple of the Lord was located. And thirdly, King Hezekiah had no son at this time. And in fact, his son, who was going to be the heir to the throne, wasn't born until 3 years after this. So that when Hezekiah died 15 years later, the son, as we heard in the 21st chapter, was 12 years old. So King Hezekiah had many reasons to be quite grieved at the announcement that his life was about to end at a very young age. So when he turned his face to the wall to have a little bit of privacy and prayer, he cried out to the Lord, telling him, "Remember, I've walked with you in truth and with a whole heart, and I've done what is good in your sight." He truly was a king that followed after the Lord, and he had actually been responsible for many reforms that came to Judah, trying to turn them back to the faith of their father David. So his prayer, as we heard today, was absolutely received by the Lord, to the point that as the prophet Isaiah was making his way out of the court of the king's palace, he was stopped suddenly by the Spirit of God, and the Lord spoke to him and told him, "Go back and talk to King Hezekiah," and the Lord referred to him as the leader of my people, "and tell him, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you, and on the third day you'll go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life." Now, first of all, that was a powerful word of promise. He's going to be healed. And not only that, Hezekiah is informed by God through the prophet the exact number of years he's going to live. So here's the king who learned the length of his life from God. That's pretty amazing in itself. The next thing that the Lord tells him through the prophet is, "I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." So he's also informed Not only will you live, I'm going to make sure that Jerusalem is not destroyed by the king of Assyria. So that had to be a great word of encouragement for Hezekiah as the leader of the kingdom of Judah. Then the next amazing thing that we hear in this story is that the Lord gave King Hezekiah a supernatural sign to confirm that the word of Isaiah was true and was truly from God. And it was the sign that the shadow on the sundial would go back 10 steps. At that time, they used these sundials to tell time, so to speak. So the shadow of the sun would go on as it went. And on the dial, there were numbers. And this sign was that it would go backward 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, prayed that God would do that. And God answered and brought the shadow back 10 steps, which is absolutely impossible in the natural, but was a supernatural sign given by God to King Hezekiah. So he's living quite a supernatural life at this moment. But the next part of the story takes a little turn in a bad direction. Hezekiah is so thrilled that he's alive, and he's so rejoicing over his new lease on life, so to speak, when he receives these visitors from the king of Babylon, who send letters and a present to King Hezekiah, congratulating him on surviving his illness because he had heard Hezekiah had been sick. Then Hezekiah received them with joy and showed him everything in his entire palace. Now, this was not wisdom, as we heard, because Isaiah came to him and said, "Who are these men? Where did they come from? And what have they seen in your house?" And Hezekiah said, "Oh, I showed him everything I have, all my treasuries. There's nothing I didn't show them." And then Isaiah the prophet gives them a very somber word, and the somber word was, "Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house, all that your fathers have laid up, will be carried away to Babylon, and nothing shall be left. And not only that, some of your sons who issue from you," so even generations after him, "whom you will beget will be taken away, and they will become officials in the palace of Babylon." So this is a very sobering prophetic word that he gives, rebuking him for being so foolish as to show these foreigners everything in his palace, obviously showing him his treasure, silver and gold and all of his armory and everything that he had, which for a foreign ambassador or dignitaries that came as representatives of the king of Babylon, they were basically getting the inside scoop on what Israel, or Judah actually here, the southern kingdom, had that would be good to plunder. So it's a lesson for us as well. There are times in our lives when God has given us a great victory. Maybe you prayed and prayed and stood in faith and waited on God to deliver you or to bring an answer or to restore a situation in your life, and God does it, and you are so happy and so rejoicing that you let your guard down, spiritually speaking, and the enemy takes advantage of that. So in a way, this is a spiritual lesson for our lives as well, that as we walk with the Lord, and the Lord does bring victories after difficult trials that we may have gone through, that we can rejoice and praise the Lord, but we always have to keep our spiritual guard up and walk in wisdom so that we don't allow any open door for the enemy whatsoever. And here, it's very possible that Hezekiah gave into a moment of pride, showing off his treasuries to these foreign dignitaries. The book of Proverbs tells us that pride comes before a fall. So this was definitely a mistake on the part of King Hezekiah. but it's actually the very next section that I want to bring to your attention today. After Hezekiah receives this news from the prophet Isaiah that in the future, everything that's been stored up in the palace and everything that his forefathers had laid up in the treasury was going to be carried off to Babylon, nothing would be left, and not only that, some of his descendants would end up becoming officials in the palace of the king of Babylon. It's Hezekiah's response to that that truly disturbs me and shows something of a selfishness in King Hezekiah. He says in verse 19 of 2 Kings chapter 20, "Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good.' For he thought, 'Is it not so, if there will be peace and truth in my days?'" In other words, he's saying, "Oh well, at least it's going to go well while I'm still alive." In other words, he just heard very horrific news. News that the palace in Judah, in Jerusalem, was going to be plundered by the Babylonians in the future. And not only that, his own descendants were going to be carried off to Babylon. And yet his response is, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good," because he's thinking, "Oh well, at least my own days, there's going to be peace." Now that shows that his concern for himself and his current life was really his focus, and his care was all about his current day situation, and that he had no heart for the future generation that would even come from his own lineage, his own body, his own generations that would follow him, not just nationally, but personally, from his own family line. To me, a lack of concern about your own offspring or your offspring's offspring is very selfish and self-centered. As believers, we need to have a serious and prayerful concern for the future generations and what we as believers are leaving as a heritage to them. Hezekiah had just received a miraculous deliverance, a miraculous extension of life, a miraculous answer to his prayers. Having experienced that, he could have cried out to the Lord again for mercy for the coming generation. God had promised him he was going to deliver Jerusalem from this attack of the Syrian king. He could have utilized that close relationship with God that he had to intercede for the next generation that was going to face an invasion from Babylon. But instead, he's like, "Oh well, at least my time's going to be good. At least there's going to be peace while I'm alive. At least I'm not going to have to deal with it." That is a very self-centered and selfish attitude. And truly, in our generation, there's similar attitudes. People are only concerned about their own well-being, their own current situation, life circumstances, and not thinking about their own actions having consequences on the coming generation. We need to be a people who have a responsibility in our own heart and spirit that is caring and compassionate and concerned about the coming generation, what we're leaving them, what kind of heritage we're leaving for them, what inheritance, spiritually and otherwise, we are leaving to the next generation. Hezekiah had a weakness in this area, and it's not to his credit at all. And truthfully, I feel that that attitude and his lack of concern for the next generation really ends up bearing fruit in his son's life. It says in chapter 21 that Manasseh, which was Hezekiah's son, was 12 years old when he became king. meaning that Hezekiah died as scheduled after the 15 years of life extension given to him by the Lord. So he was probably about 55 years old. And his son was 12 years old when he became king. He knew how long he was going to live. He knew Manasseh, his son, was going to be the heir to his throne. He should have spent those years preparing that young son for leadership and for spiritual preparation and spiritual leadership of the nation. He was going to inherit that throne at a very young age. And whatever his father imparted to him was going to be all that he had, because he wasn't going to be physically present to give him any more instruction after his 15 years of life extension were over. And the fruit is obvious in the son. Manasseh, the Bible tells us, did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the children of Israel. So he was not prepared by his father, and he was not loyal to the Lord at all, because the scripture tells us that he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah's father had destroyed. In other words, when Hezekiah destroyed all those idol worshiping altars and places of worship, his son completely reversed all those reforms that his father had put into place. So sadly, though Hezekiah has a good testimony overall, his preparation of his son was very poor. He didn't concern himself about the next generation, because he was content with, oh well, it'll be good while I'm alive. And that was very short-sighted on the part of Hezekiah. We need to be very concerned about what we are imparting to the next generation. If you're a parent, I want to encourage you, be so diligent in speaking words of life and truth and teaching your children the ways of God. And don't take the attitude that Hezekiah took. Well, they get to make their own decisions and etc. and not prepare the next generation. Do everything you can to teach them the ways of the Lord. Obviously, every human being, including our children, have to come to a time in their lives where they are accountable to the Lord themselves, and we're not responsible once they're adults with the decisions they make. But it is our responsibility as parents to give as much input and godly training as we possibly can while we have responsibility for them before they become adults. And so what you allow in your household will influence those children. What you allow to be shown on the TV in your house will influence those children. What movies you allow your child to go see will influence those children. Remember, you have a responsibility before the Lord to prepare the next generation to love and serve God and live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, because that's the only life that will be truly successful. So these are lessons that we can take from King Hezekiah's life, and they are important ones for us. But the good news that we get at the end of chapter 21 is that the very last verse tells us that a king named Josiah was going to take the throne, and this was actually the great-grandson of Hezekiah. And as we will hear in the next few chapters, King Josiah was prophesied about long before his birth, and he became a very mighty and godly king for Judah, and we'll hear his wonderful story in the next few days. But I want to encourage you today to seriously take to heart the lessons that we can glean from Hezekiah's life. The first one being that God answers prayer, and that is powerful in itself. He hears your prayers and he will answer your prayers, as he did for King Hezekiah when he told him, "I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you." So that was the first lesson. God truly hears our prayers and answers. The second thing I want you to take from this story is that important lesson of continuing to keep up your spiritual guard even after you've had a great time of victory and rejoicing. It's still important to be wise in all your decisions. Rejoice, praise God, but keep your spiritual guard up at all times. And then the last lesson, as I just mentioned, be diligent in teaching your children and grandchildren, the coming generations, the things of the Lord, and be concerned about that generation enough to pray and seek God for their sake. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.